Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Welcome. It's my delight to be with you on this occasion, and thank you for joining with us as we spend some time worshiping the Lord and around the Word of God. We're going to take just a moment to look to the Lord in a moment's prayer, and we would encourage you to pray, yes, for the preaching, but also for your own soul, that the Lord would speak to you on this occasion. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Lord and our God, we come reverently unto the true and faithful God, the one who spoke the word and created all things in 6 days, and all was very good. We bow before the sovereign gods of all creation. We rejoice that now in heaven there is a man standing on our behalf who is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, Jesus Christ, born to the Virgin Mary, who died upon the cross and rose triumphantly over death, ascended into heaven, and now sits upon the throne of God, ever living to make intercession for us. Lord and our Father, we pray for the advancement of thy kingdom. We pray, Lord, for the ingathering of people from different nations, different tongues, different skin colors, different languages. Oh, Lord, we pray for revival. We pray for the word of God to have free course and to be glorified. We pray for homes to be united in Christ, families entering the house of God together to worship thee. Lord, we look to thee for great things in these days, and we pray truly that thou wilt revive us again. So, Lord, on this occasion, give help in the proclamation of truth. Lord, give ears to hear, and give a will to respond, and give hearts to rejoice in the great truth of the resurrected Savior. Be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to now read a portion of the Word of God, and we're turning to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, and we will commence our reading at the verse number 1. And when the Sabbath day was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. That's Christ. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We're going to sing now a hymn. "Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord." The passage that we read together records the events of the resurrection day, the resurrection Sabbath. We read that in verse 1 of Mark 16, and when the Sabbath day was past. This is now the Christian Sabbath, when Christ arose from the dead. By this time, in the day when Mary and company had come to the tomb, Christ had already arose. It's worthy of note that when they came, the stone was rolled away. Now, just to clarify, that stone wasn't rolled away to allow the Lord Jesus Christ out. He was already gone. The stone was rolled away to permit the women to look in and see that he was risen from the dead. Both these women and the disciples would see the empty tomb. And soon Christ would reveal himself to a great company of people who would be witnesses of the resurrection. The resurrection is one of the greatest attested facts in human history. But before there was a resurrection, there had to be a death. And it was death by crucifixion. The Lord Jesus Christ truly died. If you go to the previous chapter with me, Mark's Gospel chapter 15, and read the verse 22, and it says regarding these Roman soldiers, and they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted, the place of a skull, and they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, now, you know, you could read that and almost miss it. When they crucified him. And yet, this is the phrase, this is the moment that all of the Old Testament history was looking forward to and all of the New Testament looked back to. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them with what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Then moving down to verse 33, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Christ died on the cross. Now, some people would question his death, but I can assure you, he died. And I'll mention that in a moment or two's time. But by way of introduction here, why? Why did God the Son become a man, enter into the incarnation? Why did he enter into the womb of the Virgin Mary and then live amongst men, despised by so many of them, yet performing great miracles and performing deeds of wonder and preaching with great wisdom, and then be taken of men, crucified, and rise again? Why? Why did he do it? He did it out of love. It was out of love to save you from the agony of the penalty of your sin, which you will pay for in hell without Christ. Why did he do it? He came to forgive you, to provide a way of forgiveness, that you might be saved, that I might be saved. What a gospel. Now, I did not say that he came to provide you with perfect health. I did not say that he came to provide you with great wealth. Now, the Lord might give you health. He might give you wealth. If so, enjoy it. It's a blessing from God. Use it wisely. Be a good steward of what God gives you. But Jesus' work was this. It was to make you right with God, to remove all of your guilt, and to set you free from sin. The truth shall make you free, the Bible says. The truth that you and I are sinners in need of salvation, and the truth that Jesus Christ is the Savior and able to take away our sins. We are considering the resurrection here. And the resurrection of Christ was a demonstration of the power of God. You see, you and I could go to a graveyard, and you could stand in the middle of the graveyard, and even using amplification, you could command and cry out to those who have been buried, "Arise!" But nothing would happen, because we cannot give life. We cannot raise from death. Now, we do have the ability to end life. And sometimes life is ended in the most sinful, barbaric fashion. Let me tell you, when there is death, once life is gone, and you're there to witness and to see someone lying lifeless, the silence is eerie. And you know you can't do anything to undo what has occurred in that person. Life has departed from them. We cannot raise them up and bring them back to life. But we read in 1 Samuel 2:6, "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up." Jesus Christ genuinely died and rose again as a demonstration of the power of Almighty God. Now, some people question, did he really die? Perhaps he went unconscious for a period of time and then came to afterwards. That's impossible. And I'll tell you why. The Lord, for a period of approximately 3 days, went without any physical nutrition entering into his body. No food, no water. He was then taken to a mock trial, beaten and scourged, and many a man died under the scourging. He was then placed upon the cross there at Calvary. His hands were pierced, his feet were pierced. He suffocated there, and he died on the cross. And then a soldier pierced his side. And in the duration of that period, the blood was flowing, and the blood and water flowed from his side, indicating even the manner of his death. And then he lay in the tomb. But I don't even need to try to bring in scientific or medical evidence to prove that he died. The Bible says that he gave up the ghost. And when the scripture uses that kind of language, it is used to indicate, indeed, it is used to confirm somebody's death. And so in the authority of God's word, Christ died. But he rose again in demonstration of the power of God. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Romans. And the first chapter, Romans chapter 1. Marvelous passage this. And in the verse number 4, it says, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And so there is no doubt, this man, Jesus of Nazareth, is truly God in flesh. And God does not lie. And this is the same Christ who told people to repent of their sins, to look to him, to trust in him, and he would save them. Christ does not speak untruths, always speaks faithfully. And therefore, I would encourage you to obey the words of Christ, look unto him, and be saved. So, the resurrection of Christ was a demonstration of the power of God, but it was also a confirmation that he accomplished salvation. You see, when Christ was on the cross, he cried, "It is finished." Well, what was finished? What was he referring to? Well, when the Lord came He was born to Mary. And remember, on one occasion, they left the city and they left Christ behind. And then they came back in search of him. And they said to Christ, as a young boy at that stage, "Why did you not come with us?" And Jesus Christ, in his youth, said, "I must be about my Father's business." What business was he referring to? The business of redemption, of salvation, of proclaiming the gospel, of saving men and women and children from the penalty of their sins. And so his first words were a declaration that he came to do his Father's business. And his last words was on the cross, "It is finished." The job that the Father gave him to do, praise God, he did it. He accomplished it. It was finished. And the resurrection verifies that. It's a confirmation that indeed Christ did accomplish salvation. You could look at 1 Corinthians 15 and the verse 17. And it says that if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. But now Christ is risen. Because he is risen, we are not left in our sins. But there is salvation. Praise God. Furthermore, the resurrection of Christ is a declaration of another resurrection. The very fact that Christ did arise indicates that we too will arise. Perhaps if you would take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the verse number 20, and it says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Now the first fruits simply means that when the farmer goes out to harvest the crops, he would lift the first gathering. And in the Bible, they would take it and wave it to the Lord. They would wave it to heaven in thanksgiving, but it was also an indication that the harvest time has begun. And now they're going to gather in the rest. Everything's going to be plucked up. And the Bible says that Christ was like that first sheaf, lifted up. And now, in time, all will follow. So the resurrection is a declaration of another resurrection. Ours, you and I, will rise again. Now, for the Christian, that's a delight. But for the unsaved, that's a fearful thing. Because it indicates that you cannot escape God. Even death cannot hide you from God because he can raise you again. So there's no escape. Therefore, instead of running from the Lord, run to the Lord and enjoy full and free salvation as he offers it. Yes, the resurrection is a declaration of another resurrection. It's also a declaration of the judgment day. Christ will come again. And when he does come again to lift up all people, everyone will stand before him on that great day. Matthew 25 summarizes to some degree what will happen on that occasion. Matthew 25 and the verse 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations," that includes you and me, "all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He will set some on his left hand, some on his right hand. Those on the right hand, he says to them, 'Come, my servants, you have done well.' But those on the left hand, we are told in verse 41, 'Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Those are solemn words. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Listen, the resurrection was a declaration of his power. It was a confirmation that salvation was accomplished. It's also a declaration of your resurrection and of a judgment day. And so while you have life and time, call upon the Lord, seek Him for salvation, and He will forgive all who call upon Him. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our Lord and our God, as we seek Thee right now, we pray, Lord, for every hearer, that they would quickly flee to Thee for salvation, the resurrected Savior who receives all who call. Thank You for the invitation, and may some receive it at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.